From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Africa is at the top of the U.S. foreign policy agenda today. President Bush leaves tonight for a five-country tour of the continent. He'll be stopping in Senegal, South Africa, Botswana, Uganda, and Nigeria.
He will not stop in Liberia, though it's the chaos in that West African nation that is dominating headlines. Today, a U.S. military team flew into the Liberian capital, Monrovia, to assess the situation. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is traveling with the president on his Africa tour. She sat down with Michelle today in her West Wing office to talk about Liberia and the ongoing operation in Iraq.
Dr. Rice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The president's trip seems designed to take him to some of the success stories throughout Africa, but questions about the war-torn nation of Liberia will certainly follow him wherever he goes throughout the continent. Now that Charles Taylor has said once again that he's willing to step down and to go into exile, what are the administration's plans for peacekeeping or possible intervention in that country?
We're working very closely with the United Nations, with the regional powers, to assess the situation and to see how we can facilitate and be involved in helping to stabilize the situation in Liberia. We've been very active in the diplomacy. It is very important for Charles Taylor to step down. He is, in many ways, the source of instability. And so it was positive news that he said he would step down, but we now need to make certain how that would happen and what would come after him. Colin Powell spent the weekend, I think it's fair to say, on the telephone with Kofi Annan, with President Kufuor of Ghana. We've talked to President Obasanjo of Nigeria, who are playing a very active role in structuring the right next steps forward. But the president said the other day he wants to do the right things. He wants to do something that's effective, and we simply have more work to do to determine how we can best participate.
President Taylor said he's willing to step down and accept an offer of exile in Nigeria. Is that acceptable? He was recently indicted on war crimes because of his involvement in Sierra Leone. Are you concerned that he might escape prosecution?
Well, Charles Taylor should be thinking of no conditions. He's done enough harm to Liberia. He needs to step down. I don't want to get into the specifics of the discussions that have been going on with him. President Obasanjo and President Kufuor have been handling that and handling it admirably. We'll see where this all comes out. But the key here is for the regional powers, the United Nations, the United States, to look at what next steps need to be taken so that Liberia can get some semblance of stability, so that Charles Taylor can step down, and so that the Liberian people can be set on a better course.
If the U.S. does intervene in Liberia, is President Bush prepared to commit to a long-term intervention? And how would he explain that to the American people, especially at a time like this?
I don't think we can speculate on the nature of any American involvement until we know what the nature of that involvement is going to be. What the president is going to do is to make sure that whatever we do is effective. And that's the most important thing, is that it's effective. I think we're not going to try to get into, at this point, speculation about what precisely that might be.
As we speak this morning, two American soldiers have been killed in Iraq, and it seems like barely a day goes by without a report of a soldier being killed or injured there. And the country must get back on its feet, and it seems like this country is in a race against time in Iraq. Why doesn't the United States rush more troops into that country to make sure that the reconstruction outpaces the chaos?
Well, we believe that the situation in Iraq is, of course, not easy, and the president was very clear back in May when he declared major combat operations over, that it was still going to be a dangerous place and that we would still have some hard work to do in order to stabilize. We're facing a particular set of forces right now, ex-Ba'athists, who know that as Iraq becomes stable and more prosperous, that they're not going to have a place in this new Iraq. And so it's not surprising that they're trying to resist. These are the thugs that oppressed their people under Saddam Hussein for almost 30 years. They're still trying to oppress their people. We knew that this was going to be hard. It's a country that's been through so much. It's been traumatized by all of these years of really brutal rule. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the Iraqi people are free of this brutal dictator who ruled by force of secret police and torture chambers and prisons in which children came out when these prisons were opened, mass graves that show that he was slaughtering people right up until the days before the war, a danger and a threat to the region. This was an awful dictator, and he is gone, and he's not coming back. And the Iraqi people will have a better life. The United States is committed to that.
But why not rush more troops in now? You said the situation on the ground is very difficult. You've said yourself that you underestimated just how difficult it might be.
I don't think we underestimated that it would be difficult. The president said it would be difficult. The America has the appropriate number of forces there. The CENTCOM, the Central Command, is doing some reallocation of forces, some restructuring of the forces that are there. International forces are starting to come in. This is also, in many parts of the country, really a policing function, not a military function. And so there's a very active now program to try to increase the number of police, both international police and Iraqis who are trained as policemen. It's not just a military situation. It's also a police situation.
More than 2 months after the president declared the end to major combat operations in Iraq, the hunt for weapons of mass destruction continues. If 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years from now, those weapons have not been found, how will you explain that to the American people, since this was the primary justification for going to war?
Well, we will certainly know the complete nature of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction and their weapons of mass destruction program. But let's be real. Nobody believed that Saddam Hussein had given up his weapons of mass destruction. This is simply revisionism to that anyone suggests that this was not a country with weapons of mass destruction. You go back to 1991, you go back to the fact that he'd used them on the Kurds and on the Iranians. You go back to the large storehouses of weapons that were found by the inspectors in 1991. In 1994 and 1995, the revelation of a biological weapons program when his brother-in-law escaped to the United States. In 1998 and in 1999, UN reports that there were large numbers of unaccounted for anthrax and botulinum toxin and VX and nerve gas. This was a brutal dictator who had an appetite for weapons of mass destruction, had them in the past, had used them in the past, had them unaccounted for, was trying to acquire more in the future. The basis of intelligence for this was absolutely solid. And I will tell you something. I've been myself personally the subject of stories that say you should have connected the dots that would have said 19 men were going to drive airplanes into the Pentagon and into the World Trade Center on September 11th. And I can tell you, there were very few dots. There were thousands and thousands of dots about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction programs. And any American president who had not connected them and seen that this was a major threat to the United States, its allies, and to the region would not have been doing his job.
Dr. Rice, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Condoleezza Rice is National Security Advisor for the Bush administration.